You know, the Alter Rebbe composed a song on the words Achein Ata Kel Mistatir. And contrary to what one would think, it's actually a joyous melody. The tune indicates a sense of exaltation, ecstasy, hope in the human consciousness. Achein Ata Ata Kel Mistatir. That's the beginning of the melody. And it seems quite enigmatic. What are the words? Achein Ata Kel Mistatir. You are God who conceals himself. But the answer is, the very fact that I know that you're concealed here is a cause for profound joy. Because you take a conceal, but you are concealed here. There's the Ata. The Ata is here. Less asar ponimine. And therefore, I'll never fall victim or prey to the concealment. Because I know that the concealment is concealing you. And to cleave to the concealment and to attribute to it reality and significance is ridiculous. So the Alter Rebbe says, and just like Hashem himself is a kel mistater, v'gam ha'arev is pashtos achayis v'mena yisbarach. Similarly, the illumination and extension of vitality from him, mistateres v'levushim ha'masachim rabim v'atzumim, also hides itself in many dense garments and veils, achen islapshav in istater v'levush noiga, till it is finally clothed and hidden in the garment of noiga, which completely conceals man's divine life force and sanctity when he engages in idle talk. Klipas Naiga, that's what a nefesh achiyunus is. So less asar panimine, totally concealing this divine life force, and when he engages in these idle words. This is all when he utters dvarim b'teilim. It is different, however, with the sacred letters and words of Torah and davening prayer. Here it's much different. When I take my biological soul and I use it to utter, not idle chatter. He doesn't talk here about forbidden words. Dvarim asurim, that receives its vitality through divinity as it was communicated through Shalosh Lipos HaTmeis. This is Dvarim B'Teilim, which is also Klip. But what happens when I use my biological soul to utter words of davening? Or learning? I learn. What happens here? The Adirabe here, not only does Klip Asnaiga not obscure godliness, but on the contrary, Klip Asnaiga mishapechas l'tayv, the translucent shell is transformed to good, and is absorbed into this holiness, as explained above in chapters 35 and 37. Not only in this case does the klipas naiga not obscure godliness, it's transformed, because since it's translucent, so a little bit of the holy essence in it radiates through it, and you can reveal in it its true source and essence until it becomes absorbed in its true essence. So when I take my nefesh achiyunis, my biological soul, and I use it for uttering words of davening or learning, what do? Not only don't I fall prey to the shell, on the contrary, I redefine the nature of the concealment. I transform, I metamorphose, I split pasnaiga. So here the Alter Rebbe is concluding with the statement he began. When I utter words of Torah or davening without kavana, without meditation, without passion, so the second element that characterizes and makes this world the lowest world, which is the Hester piece, the concealing piece, that doesn't exist. Because what is the whole definition of these words? Godliness. When I speak these words, I remain loyal to the true essence of my biological soul, of my mouth, of my tongue, and of my soul. There's no dysfunctionality, there's no distortion, there's no manipulation like in other cases, because klipas naiga is not serving as a veil, as a dense garment to defy and to conceal Hashem by giving credence and validity to Dvarim B'Teilim, to unspiritual worlds, to untranscendental worlds. Klipas Naiga is not perpetuating the illusion that there's something outside of the realm of spirituality. On the contrary, Klipas Naiga is becoming an instrument to express godliness. through uttering words of davening and words of learning. So the Hester piece has to be eliminated. But what about the first element that characterizes this world as the lowest world? Mikol makay, nevertheless, ha'ar shebehen mikdushas yisbarach, the illumination from His holiness that these words of davening and learning contain, who bebchinas tzimtzum at ktzei acheron, is yet still contracted to the furthest degree. Me'achar shakol va'dibur hu gashmi, since the voice and the speech uttering these words of Torah and prayer are nonetheless material. So therefore the godliness that is expressed and revealed with them is very contracted, because it's revealed through the medium of a biological soul and through physical tools, through a mouth, through a voice, through physical speech and so forth. So when I speak dvarim betalim, idle chatter, or I engage, for example, in gluttonous, eating habits. So here we experience both disadvantages of the physical, of this world, the tzimtzum piece and the Hester piece. When I use my biological soul to utter words of Torah or davening, there's no Hester, but there is a tzimtzum because it's physical, and the godliness is revealing itself only as it can be expressed in something physical. Aval b'tfila b'kavana, b'teira b'kavana l'shma. But in the case of davening recited with kavana and teira studied with kavana l'shma, what does it mean l'shma? There's kavana, literal meaning of kavana. The halachic requirement of kavana is you have in mind that you want to observe a mitzvah when you're doing this, or you think about the meaning, the basic meaning of some of the words on the most external level. And we discussed in the beginning of chapter 38 the various debates among the halachic authorities if you even need this minimal type of kavana or not. And according to many opinions, and the halach is that in many cases you don't even need this minimal type of kavana. But here the Alter Rebbe is talking about another kavana, lishma. Lishma means that you actually care about God. It's not just kavana, I want to do a mitzvah. Why? For whatever reason. Lishma means for its own sake, because you really care about Hashem, because Hashem means something to you in your life. Why should Hashem mean something to you in your life? So this can be for two reasons. Either because you know, or you know at least, or you even feel. You remember the two types of love, emotional love or intellectual love. Either you know or you feel that this is your true reality, so it's meaningful to you. Your truth is meaningful to you. Your deepest level is meaningful to you. That's called avamiyirativis. You tune into your own truth, and you find that godliness is your truth, so it's meaningful to you. Or because you understand or you feel that it's a truth that transcends you, that it's truth. That's why it's meaningful to you. Not because it's you and you want to find yourself. But you're ready to lose yourself in truth. That's avamiyirsichas. But in any case, when your Torah and davening has this kavana behind it, so then the kavana is clothed, it permeates the letters of speech, since it is their source and root, for he speaks these words for and because of this kavana. This kavana is the cause, is prompting, is driving, is propelling these words. That's the cause of it. So therefore the kavana closes itself in these words. Therefore the kavana elevates the words to its own space, the Yitzvir is the Yitzirei Debriya, meaning to the 10 spheres of either Yitzir or Briya, Lefima Shehiya Kavana, depending on the type of Kavana, B'dechilu Urechimu Sichlin, whether a Kavana of transcendental fear and love, Aitivin, or a Kavana which stems from, a Kavana which constitutes natural fear and love, Chuli, etc., Knisker Lel, as explained above in chapter 39. The former, the transcendental fear and love, ascends, is connected to the world of Bria, and the latter, the natural love and fear, to the world of Yitzir. Because what's the difference between Yitzir and Bria? We explain. In the world of Yitzir, the consciousness of that world is that Hashem constitutes its core and its essence. In the world of Bria, what's the consciousness that constitutes the world of Bria? That it senses its nothingness, like we discussed at length 2 weeks ago. But in any case, either it ascends to the world of Yitzhak or to the world of Bria. You're asking why the Alter Rebbe adds the word Chuli, etc. Nu Zagdu. I'll tell you. I had a great uncle whose name was Michal Lipsker, and in 1954 he wrote a letter to the Rebbe. When the Rebbe published the Tanya in 1954, with some footnotes in the back, so on this Chuli the Rebbe writes, Tzarechi and Ktsas, it requires understanding what the why the Alter Rebbe, what the Alter Rebbe means with the etc. One second. So Rabbi Michal Lipsker lived in Meraki, wrote a letter to the Rebbe. What's the question? Apparently, you could say Chuli is, if it's not done with any love and awe at all, it remains in the world of action. So the Rebbe responded to him in a letter in 1954 and said, it's absurd to explain that way, to explain it that way, because the Rebbe is not talking about that. He's talking about if there is Kavanah, not if there's no Kavanah. So the Rebbe said the Chuli is, in Peirik Lamatas, he discussed a third option, that it can ascend to the world of Atzilus. But the Rebbe said there ain't one oasis but Nistaris. We don't want to get into hidden issues, so we're not going to talk about it. So to totally ignore it, it's not right, it's part of the equation. To get into it, he doesn't want to. So he writes Chuli. Which means a third option, where the Kavana of the Merkava type of soul can elevate the Torah and Mitzvahs to the world of Atzilus. So the Alter Rebbe says, now Visham, there, where is there? In those higher worlds, in the spheres, in the divine emanations of the world, Yitzira, Briya, or even Atzilus, Meiru, Mizgala, Eirin, Sof, Baruch. The Ein Sof energy shines forth and is revealed, meaning, Shahu Ratzin Elyon Baruch Hu Amalubish Ba'esis Atayra Shalayimadu B'Kavanason, meaning, the divine will vested in the letters and in the kavana of the Torah that one studies, ay betfila bekavanasa, or the divine will in davening in its kavana, ay bemitzvah bekavanasa, or the divine will in a mitzvah in its kavana. So the Ein Sof energy, which is the divine will that's manifested and vested in the Torah and in the Kavanah and the Mitzvah and the Kavanah and the Tefillah and the Kavanah, radiates in the higher worlds with an infinitely great brightness, mashala yachay lahayir liz galis klal ba'id ha'ais yizva mitzvah ba'ilam hazagashmi, that can by no means shine forth and be revealed why the letters of Torah and davening and the mitzvah are still in this physical world. Neither the radiance itself nor any part of it can be projected in the physical world. Ad eis keitz hayamin, until the era of the end of days, sheis ala ayla migashmi yusri, when the world will rise out of its materiality, out of its physicality, and the glory of Hashem will be revealed, etc. The pasuk in Yeshaya Perik Mem, Kanisker Le'el Barichis, as explained above in chapter 36, Lamed Vav at length. But till then, our world is limited by the tzimtzum, by the contraction that defines physicality, and thus it is so important and crucial to elevate the Torah, the prayer, and the mitzvahs to a higher spiritual level. Right. Right, right. Good question. Good question. You're asking First, he says it's impacted by the Tzimtzum because it's Gashmis. So what does the Kavana do? It makes the words of Torah I'm learning not physical. The letters are physical in some sense. My mouth is physical. My biological soul is producing them and so forth. What is the Alter Rebbe saying? The Alter Rebbe started this whole explanation that Kutcha Brichu Imamalakalam in Beshava. He went off to another subject. Hashem fills all the worlds alike. And thus, from Hashem's point of view, there's no difference between higher worlds and upper worlds. Because His presence is revealed everywhere in the same intensity. He's all pervading, omnipresent. All pervading constantly in the higher worlds and the upper worlds and so forth. And thus, Einoid Mulvadi, there's nothing outside of Him, which is the cardinal truth of existence, that's the only reality. There's no difference. However, Hashem did construct various transitions and modes and contractions and concealments and veils and myriads of them, which affect the recipients of these worlds. That they perceive themselves in a certain way as a result of these various contractions. And the different worlds and the different consciousnesses all depend on the degree of the contractions, the veils, the garments, and so forth. Now, if you understand this well, now the Alter Rebbe says, from this we can understand the theme connected to Torah and Mitzvahs as well. From Hashem's point of view, Torah and mitzvahs constitute His intimate, essential, most essential will and wisdom without any concealment or any veil. Like we said before, the only reality in which Hashem is not veiled even a bit is Torah and mitzvahs. Here you have Him as He's exposed totally. It's His deepest place. He removes all the covers and all contractions. Hashem in His intimacy. That is a mitzvah. That's what Torah is. Who are Ritzoniach? Nonetheless, the Alter Rebbe says, in relationship to the mitzvah itself, to the recipient, so to speak, to the object in which you're performing the mitzvah, the words you're uttering during davening or prayer, the person who's observing them, since we are dealing with physical objects and physical worlds, so there is a major tzimtzum, a major contraction that doesn't allow the intense holiness that characterizes the mitzvah to be revealed. Because since they're physical, the sanctity in them cannot be expressed. You do not feel, you do not sense, there's no revelation of it being Hashem's intimate will. When I have kavana, what is kavana? When the Jew thinks about Hashem when he davens, thinks about Hashem when he learns, thinks about Hashem when he does a mitzvah, so something of the Ratzon Ha'Elyon, of the divine intimate will that exists in these elements is revealed in the davening, in the mitzvah, in the Torah. Something of the all-pervading Eimod Molvadei Dika truth of Hashem becomes revealed in this activity, in these words, in these thoughts. It's felt, it's expressed. Why? Because it's not in the world of Asiyah, it's in the world of Yitziru Briya, where godliness is experienced and felt much more. This is what it means, Parcha La'Ela. It soars on high. What does it mean? What does it mean? You begin appreciating the mitzvah from the perception and vantage point of the world of Yetzirah, or from the vantage point of the world of Briya. You begin seeing what a mitzvah is. The unbelievable sanctity in a mitzvah is revealed in it. Now, truth be told, the true sanctity of a mitzvah is never revealed, even in the world of Briya, the world of Yetzirah. Because if the true sanctity would be revealed, it would not. It would cease to be a world. When the true intimacy of Hashem is expressed, then Einoid Mulvadei, there's nothing outside of it. There's no question about that. So the true Ratzon Ha'Elyon to appreciate it and perceive it, if it's revealed, there's no appreciator and there's no perceiver. But nonetheless, you can't compare Bria to this world. In physicality, even when there's no Hester, it's physical. So if there's no Kavana, the sanctity of the mitzvah remains within a physical world. The sanctity, the holiness in it is only revealed as it can be expressed within physical objects or words. If you want to have some feeling or expression of revelation, a mitzvah is rotzayin ha'elyayin, the mitzvah has to take on higher dimensions. And how does it take on higher dimensions? When I am doing the mitzvah of davening, and I'm experiencing a kavana, a spiritual kavana, that's rooted in the consciousness of the world Yitzir, the world of Bria. And that kavana, he says, is prompting the mitzvah, is driving it. It becomes manifested in the words, and it allows the words or the deed to be appreciated and perceived from that vantage point. So something of what is going on is revealed, is expressed. A person's passion is never detached from his deed or his words. You know, when you're angry, you speak in one tone, and when you're very happy and serene, your words come out in another tone. And if you're a skilled, deep person, you can sense it even in a human being's deed, and certainly in a human being's thoughts, and so forth. So the kavana, the passion, is never detached from the deed. It's spiritualized. That's what it means, it soars upwards. What does it mean, it soars upwards? Of course it's physical. It's good. But one can begin appreciating it from the vantage point of Yetzirah and Bria. That's what it means, it soars upwards. So if there's no Kavana, of course you have Hashem's intimate will. You have Hashem's intimate will. But He's revealed there in an unbelievable tzimtzum. Only as much a sanctity as godliness can be expressed through physicality. For example, you can have diamonds, and the diamonds should be submerged in mud. The diamonds are there, but nothing of their nature, of their splendor, of their majesty, of the royalty can be seen or perceived. We want the holiness as it can be experienced through spirituality, through spiritual worlds. Here the Alter Rebbe culminates to a significant degree the tension that existed between what some people like to call the man of halacha and the mystical man. Where on one hand Alter Rebbe highlights and underscores earlier the powerful significance and revolution of Maisa, of Halacha, of doing the mitzvah, as it says in Shulchan Aruch, of learning the Torah, of davening and so forth. On the other hand, he is so adamant about the need for, so to speak, mystical passion, spiritual refinement, being attuned with the higher, deeper realities of the universe. Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik used to describe a story that occurred in Russia. His father, Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik, was a son of Rabbi Chaim Brisker, who was one of the greatest Lithuanian scholars of the last century, very close friend with the Rabbi Rashab. So Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik was once Rosh Hashanah, and he was the rabbi of the city. He was on the bima, ready to listen to the shofar. It was after Maftid, and everyone was preparing themselves for Tkiyas Shofar, the most awesome moment, one of the most awesome moments of the year. The Baal Tekeya, the one who blew the Shofar, Rabbi Yosher Ber describes, was a Lubavitcher Chassid. A very real Chassid, who was intimately in touch with the Alter Rebbe's teachings. Very God-fearing and pious Jew. So as he took the shofar in his hand, he began weeping profusely. He couldn't contain himself. Saying Olam Natzeach, seven psukim, and Ameitzar, Karasa Yutke, and then the brachas. He was just crying and crying. So Reb Moshe Soloveitchik turns to him and says, I don't understand you. When you shake a lulav and esrog, you also cry like this. Aren't they both mitzvahs of Hashem? Why are you crying? The chassid couldn't control himself. The chassid didn't cry when he shook the lulav. Moshe knew that he's not going to cry when he shakes the lulav. Why not? Because it's a very, for him there was a very big difference between blowing the shofar and shaking the lulav. Blowing the shofar symbolizes the min hametzar karasa yudkei anani b'merchav yudkei. The shofar, which begins on one edge, is characterized by its narrow opening, and on the other edge by its expansiveness, symbolizes man's refusal to reconcile his life with the tzimtzum. He's seeking and yearning to transcend the tzimtzum, to be reabsorbed in the all-pervading reality of Einoid Mulvadim and Ameitze, Karasa Yutke, Anoniba Merchav Yutke, a simple cry coming from the deepest levels of the soul, and that's why it's wordless. It's a wordless cry. It's simple. It's the deepest. Yearning to be reabsorbed, protesting against the post-Simpson reality. Lulav Esther creates Hadar Sukkis, symbolizes, on the other hand, the divine energy manifested within the parameters of the physical world. So Shofar indeed warrants profound tears. But if Moshe Soloveitchik was saying, they're both mitzvahs, why are you weeping? Do the mitzvah. Rachmana Amar Tiku, you have to blow, it's Giblosan. You have to have Kavana that I want to be Yaitu, the mitzvah of blowing Shofar Rosh Hashanah. Now anyone who learns the Tanya knows that from the Alter Rebbe's point of view, you can make that statement. Aren't they both mitzvahs? And you can make it in a much more, in an even a more powerful way. What did Alter Rebbe say in Perek Lamed Hey? That the deepest meditation and ecstasy and spiritual experience of the soul cannot really allow a person to connect to Hashem, because Yeshmi Shayayev, the very fact that there is a lover indicates that there is a spiritual eye, and therefore it does not allow you to grasp Hashem. You need a mitzvah. By way of illustration, if you have a dog, lahavda, if you have a dog, and you throw a stick to your dog, and you say, catch! And the dog goes and catches the stick. So the dichotomy, the disparity between your mind and the dog's mind, between your heart and the dog's heart, will remain intact. But in one element, there's total fusion. The moment the dog caught the stick, he implemented or she implemented your will. If the dog would have attempted, instead of going to grab the stick, to meditate. You know how dogs sometimes meditate? To meditate and to try to merge its mind with your mind, with its master's mind. Or to merge its heart with its master's heart. I doubt it would have reached anywhere. But the moment the master said, don't meditate on who I am and what type of person I am and my inner convictions and feelings and dilemmas and problems. Catch the stick. And you did it. And he did it. There's a total fusion and unity between the master and the dog in that element. In that sense, that's what Alter Rebbe said in chapter 4 and in chapter 35. Hashem is infinite. So all my meditations and ecstasy and experience and so forth, I won't reach anywhere. Not only that, but as Alter Rebbe said in chapter 35, the very fact that I'm experiencing means that Hashem is not revealed. The unbelievable revolution of the Alter Rebbe, if there's a spiritual experience, it means you don't have God. Because if you would have Hashem in all of His intimacy, there's no spiritual experience, there's no I, Einoid Mulvadim, there's nothing outside of Him. So the only way through which you can experience Him is a mitzvah. Hashem says, this is what I want, catch the stick. You catch the stick. And that's true about every mitzvah. Whether you have kavana, you don't have kavana, here you have His intimate presence as He is exposed. He said in Lamed Hey, the Beni might not have ecstasy, but he has intimacy. His intimacy is totally revealed and exposed. There's no I. This is who I am on my deepest level. You go beyond all the concealments. You have a mitzvah. You have Torah. You have davening. Zogt Alter Rebbe here, but nonetheless, we don't want you should remain a dog. Loi v'gvuras asus yechpots loi v'sheke ish yirtze reitz Hashem is yireyov. We say every day in davening, Alter Rebbe says Hashem doesn't desire the strength of a horse or your thighs. He desires yireyov, those who fear Him. So Alter Rebbe teaches in Likud HaTorah, it doesn't mean Hashem doesn't desire materialism, He desires spirituality. No! He doesn't desire the spirituality of a horse. What's a horse? A horse gets you to places where you could never get. In that sense, when I daven or learn, it's getting me to places where I can never get. It's connecting me with the intimacy of reality, with the essence of reality, with Hashem Himself. And nonetheless, we want the person should have a relationship with Hashem. An internal relationship. There should be a revelation of godliness. Now, till Mashiach comes, in physicality, it has no revelation of true sanctity. When Mashiach comes, the physical world will become the place where the essence of everything will be revealed, even higher than Bria and Yetzirah. Nisav HaKadosh Baruch Hu leaves like Dira B'Tachtonim, like he said in chapter 36, it's going to be even higher then. But till Mashiach comes, physicality remains a place where there's total contraction. Total contraction. So one may ask, you have the technicalities of the mitzvah. What do you need the mysticism of the mitzvah? Because Hashem doesn't want only a technical marriage. He wants a full-fledged marriage. And to have a full-fledged marriage, we need a revelation of what is going on in a mitzvah. Why do you need the revelation of what is going on in the mitzvah? Not just because it affects me in a deeper way. But that's part of His intimate will, that it should be revealed. So we want the godly revelation in a mitzvah. So first of all, the human being is totally transformed when this parchalela, because he appreciates what is going on, he's changed. But furthermore, Hashem wanted that His presence, His intimate presence, should be revealed in the world. Not just He should be, and not just we should have the diamond submerged in mud. The diamond should be revealed, that's part of it. That's part of what makes the Dira B'Tachtonim. Not only you have a home for His presence, you have a luminescent home. So for a luminescent home, you need kavanah. I'll conclude with one vart. This is how Chassidus explains true significance behind the event, the absurd event that occurs with the miraglim, with the spies in this week's parsha, and next week's parsha Korach. It says in Seder Olam Rabbah in Perek Ches, it's brought in Tosfos and Rashbam and Baba Basra in Perek Yesh Neichelin, Daf Kuf Yates, I believe, that the story with Korach occurred right following the story with the miraglim. Now apparently, the question is asked, why? Korach created a mutiny against the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. He was extremely upset with the fact that Moshe was king and that Aaron was Kohen Gadol. And he assembled all those 250 leaders to revolutionize and revolt against the leadership positions of Moshe and Aaron and so forth. So why did he wait till after the story with the miraglim? The story with the miraglim concluded on Tisha B'Av when they came back from Israel, from Canaan, and they dissuaded the entire nation from entering into the land, draining them from their faith and courage and motivation to enter into Eretz Yisrael, which resulted in the entire nation beginning to weep and cry and saying, "We're not going into Eretz Yisrael, we don't want to go in there." The famous tragedy with the miraglim in this week's parsha. Korach was upset about the fact that Moshe was a Rebbe, was a leader, was a Melech, didn't have to do with that time. The fact that Aaron was a Kohen Gadol was either communicated by Matan Torah, during Matan Torah, which is a year before, or at least when the Mishkan was built, which was Rish Chodesh Nissan. So what was it about Korach's complaint that it followed the story with the miraglim? Korach tells Moshe and Aaron, "Madua ki chola eid the kulam gdoishim of atoichem Hashem, umadua tisnasu al kal Hashem." The entire community is holy, and among them rests Hashem. Why should you exalt yourself over everybody else? Who are you? this complaint didn't occur after the Meraglim came back from Eretz Yisrael and dissuaded the entire nation from entering. It could have happened much earlier. So the Rebbe explains that what was the complaint of the Meraglim? What happened to them? Such tzaddikim, how are they transformed into such rebellious sinners? Hashem wants you to go into Eretz Yisrael and they come and say no. It's very difficult to understand. So everybody knows that the Rebbe explains in the Torah of Parshas Shlach. The Meraglim were quite idealistic people. The Meraglim knew in the desert there is spiritual ecstasy. In the desert you experience godliness in your life. In the desert there was a vibrant life permeated with ruchnius and transcendence. When they come into the land, to Canaan, they will begin involving themselves in politics and in commerce and in business and in agriculture, in a military life, and so on and so forth. And they fear that this will totally detach them from spirituality, from godliness. They didn't want to. Eretz Eichelos Yishver, it's a country that consumes its inhabitants. It's impossible to continue the spiritual ecstasy of the desert in Eretz Yisrael. Now we will lose everything and totally conform to a lifestyle of nature and concealment and veils of physicality and so forth. What was their error? Their error was that Hashem desired that a Jew should transform the physical world and make it a godly place. And how does a Jew transform the physical world and make it a godly place? For that he doesn't have to live in spiritual higher worlds. He was given the Torah and the mitzvahs that constitutes Hashem's essence. And through that he makes a home in the physical world, bringing Hashem into the world. Going even beyond all the spiritual deepest worlds I've discussed above, the highest worlds pale in comparison to what a mitzvah is all about. A mitzvah is pre-all tzimtzum. Pre all the tzimtzumim. And this is what happens in Eretz Yisrael. Koyach heard this. He said, yeah. If so, madua tisnasu al kal Hashem. Why is Maya, Moshe, and Aaron special? If you're going to tell me that the Meraglim were dead wrong, why? Teirah mitzvahs. A Jew, a simple peasant, who puts on tefillin, who blows the shofar, who shakes the lulav, has the essence. I can understand Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron holding on to their positions as for technical reasons. Technical reasons. You need a kohen gadol, you need a teacher. But it doesn't make them intrinsically superior. Which explains, apparently, the paradox. Korach himself was in a leadership position. He was part of the Levi tribe. So he's telling Moshe and Aaron, Madu etisnasu al kal Hashem. He himself was in a leadership position. He was contradicting himself. His arguments were defeating his own purpose. The 250 Sanhedrin members of the court were in a leadership academic position. So they're saying, Madu etisnasu? No, but his perception of leadership was technical. Of course, you need a teacher. You need someone to work in the Beis HaMikdash. But when you talk about Moshe and Aaron in superior terms, Moshe as a Rebbe, the real godliness is not about spirituality. The real godliness is in a mitzvah, is in Torah that can be experienced in the physical world with its full intensity. And that was the whole mistake of the spies, that they thought otherwise. Now this is a time. Or in other words, do you really need Kavana? Do you really need Kavana? So Moshe responds, his first response is, Baker v'yeda Hashem es Hashalai. Let's wait till the morning and Hashem will let us know who's His. So Rashi says, why morning? This was by day. Two reasons. First of all, to give them time to do tshuva. Main reason, the other reason he brings from the Medrash, Moshe was indicating that Hashem created separations in the world. There is night and there is day. And thus, there is Aaron with Kohen Gadol and there are the rest of the Jews. So the question is asked, this happened that day. It says the argument, the rebellion of Korach happened that day. He could have waited till at night, and he already would have had the boundary between day and night. Why did he have to wait for the next morning? But the spiritual reason for this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. Night and day were both created by the same God. But one is dark and one is light. What was the punishment of Korach? V'yerdu chayim sha'ayla. They went down in the deep depths while they were alive. What does that signify spiritually? Not that they went down into the deep depths when they were dead. They went down alive. You can have Torah, you can have mitzvahs, which means you can be alive, but nevertheless be in sha'ol tachtas. The Torah and the mitzvahs, the diamonds can be submerged in mud, can be dark. What says dark? It's Hashem's intimate will. But since it's attached only to the physical world, so there cannot be any appreciation or revelation of the sanctity of what it really is. So you have it, but it's totally dark. It's like you're living with someone, you're married to someone, but the light is never on. You never see the other person's face. So you're living in the same home for 90 years, but you never appreciate the presence of the other person. So what Moshe was saying is, Beikir v'yeda Hashem es Hashalai. Together with having Torah and mitzvahs, which is the essence, you also need kavana, so that the essence which is in the mitzvah or in the Torah should be revealed, should be projected. And thus, to allow the world to become a dir lo'yiz baruch, a home for Hashem, a home not only having His essence, but having His essence in a revealed way. And that's when the Torah and mitzvahs soar upwards through spirituality, through kavana that drives. So the question is Judaism, according to the Alter Rebbe, an exercise in technicalities or an exercise in spirituality? Is Judaism technical or spiritual? What would you say? Neither. The Meraglim said, it's spiritual. We're not going to go into a technical land. Korach said, it's technical. They were both wrong. It's neither spiritual or technical. It's truth. It's the method through which a human being connects and integrates truth, ultimate truth in his or her life. Absolute truth. The truth of one God, of Hashem Echad. And this endeavor includes two elements. Includes action and behavior, and includes passion and transcendence. Have a wonderful week. No, did it answer your question or not?
Well, based on this logic, right? If you wouldn't have said in the beginning that the sign you could sense on
is Gashmius. Okay, so now you're asking a good question. So the Kavana should make the mitzvah less physical. Right? That's a good question. So I want to point out to you here a diyuk in Alter Rebbe's words.
Oh,
you saw that?
That's what I was thinking. I was kind of jealous.
You saw that, yeah? Two diyuk.
This is what I was asking. I wondered whether that relates
to... Oh, but one more thing. Look in that line on 108. That's from Dalet Amud Beis, yeah? Olam Hazeh Olam Hashafel LeBeis Pchinas Kei Ha'Ader Shebei Mitzumtzemes Me'oi Ad Tzeyach Me'oi Now, when he discusses the words of Torah which are done without kavana, on the second line from the bottom, there's no ma'od here. There's tzimtzum. He doesn't say b'chinas tzimtzum ma'od. Just tzimtzum atzayachim. Me'acher shakel v'adibur hu gashmi, and there's no chumri. So apparently, the ma'od is associated with chumri, very physical. Very mitzumtzum creates chumrius, which means density. When there is a tzimtzum akseya achrim, but it's not a ma'oid, it creates gashmis and not chumrius. Now what does this mean? There's a big difference, apparently. Well, you see, he deletes it the second time. So Torah without kavana is gashmi, but it's not chumri. It's gashmi without chumri. Which is quite interesting. But this is all without kavanah. Now, with kavanah, it's not even gashmi. With kavanah, it's not even gashmi. What's pshat?
So what is it?
Everyone knows it's gashmi. And now, on the contrary, in Perek Lamadov, he explained that the whole point is it should be a gashmi. Because the Sava Kodesh Baruch Hu is played the Rebbe Tachtayim, and Lamadvav and Lamad Zayin, to sublimate Klipas Naika. And La'esh HaYamin is the physicality that's going to be refined. which is why he mentions it here. Even though he mentions it in the negative, till Mashiach comes, it's not going to be refined. He means it in the positive, that when Mashiach comes, it's going to be in the Gashmi, so then you're going to have a lot more than Yetzirah and Briyah. You could see it from how he's saying it. He gives it credence while he's negating it. So obviously the Kol is Gashmi, the Dibur is Gashmi, but you also have, what does Yetzirah say about this Kol? What does Briyah have to say about this mitzvah? Yetzirah knows what Elikus is a little bit. Knows what the Ratzin Atzmi of Elikus is a little bit. Not totally, because if they would totally get it, there would be no one to get it. That's true. But they get it, huh? And your kavana, is giving that to the mitzvah. So now, somewhat of what the mitzvah is also revealed in the mitzvah. And thus it can impact you in a whole other way, and impact the world in a whole other way. It's revealed in the world. What it is revealed. It's not just it. It's itness, its essence, its beauty, its power, unbelievable power, is somewhat revealed. How is it revealed? Because in Bri and Yitzir it is revealed. That is, Vashon Meir Ratzon Ha'Olam. Because it's Bri and Yitzir, there's no such tzimtzum. And your kavana is rooted in those worlds. Your kavana is a consciousness that originates in those worlds, that is produced in those worlds, and so forth. And that kavana is manifesting in this mitzvah. So it gives the mitzvah that which exists in those worlds, which is a revelation of the rationality of the mitzvah.
Perhaps it's not bound by the physical.
That's true. So it's not bound by it's physical, but it's not bound by it. Other realities are added to its existence. Other dimensions
saying,
are added.
We seem not to be saying that it becomes non-physical.
Yeah, of course it remains physical. Now, if after ever said Verelam and Ches, an important thing, you're knocking spiritual meditation and experience because there's an I and an I and I. What about Kavanah? There's also an I. Einachanami, if Kavanah wouldn't be Ratzin Ha'alyin, it would be a problem. But Kavan is part of the Ratz. Hashem wants Ahava and He wants Yira. So it's part of the Him. It's part of the He reality, not the I reality. So it's part of the pre-Tzimtzum reality, which is important to understand. Because if not, the Kavana would not be on the same realm like a mitzvah. It is on the same realm like a mitzvah. But on the other hand, a mitzvah without Kavana is something. Kavana without a mitzvah is nothing. Because a mitzvah without Kavana, you have the essence. It's just not revealed. Kavana reveals the essence. The essence is here in a revealed way. It says in Chassidus that in Dira B'tachtenim you need two things. You want a home, and you want that the home should be lit up. And that makes Moshe and Aaron special. That's why you need spiritual Jews. I think Pshat is that with Kavana, you have only the Maila of Gashmi and not the Chesaron of Gashmi. But then, while you have the Chesaron of Gashmi, then it's Metzuntzum. When you have Kavana, so you have the Maila of Gashmi because you brought down the Eibishter into the physical world in which there is the greatest Tzimtzum and usually the greatest Hester. But you don't have the chisaron of Gashmi because you also have Yitzira and Briya and maybe even Atzilus.
You're aligned.
So the Gashmi is aligned with the Ruchni. So the Pshat is not that the mitzvah becomes ice physical, but it doesn't remain stuck and bound by the limitations of physicality. It only has the advantage of physicality. Because the Kavana became a part of its dynamic, which means the spirituality and the physicality are integrated in it. So now you have both milas. You have the Etzem, Hashem's essence, K'moy Shehu, K'moy like He was, K'edem B'riyas Olam, because He did a mitzvah, and that's Him. On the other hand, if you wouldn't have had Kavana, you would have had His essence, but it would have been in mud. Like he said before, you could be driven by an ego, by a pompous ego, that's driving your whole Torah. So the Torah is stuck in Klippah. What does it mean it's stuck? How do you say that? The Kedusha, the sanctity, is bogged down by your ego. It certainly can be expressed, can be revealed. When you have Kavana, which means you refine yourself, you're introducing godliness into your mitzvah. So now the inner splendor of what a mitzvah is revealed. So the essence of Hashem becomes revealed in the world.
So, again, part of the problem you're saying with the original statement, the assumption that the Gashmi is a sign on the Simson. You've got the other script that says, but if the Simson on the Sarah, I'm not going to tell
the Gashmi. The Gashmi is a sign for Simson. Ain't going to be made a sign for Simson. Till Mashiach comes. Till Mashiach comes, Gashmi is synonymous with Tzimtzum.
By virtue of the way around, just because based on statistics, that's what it really is. Not by definition, but based on statistics. Perhaps. Not by definition. The point is that it's not its definition. It's not necessarily so.
I think it is its definition. It's just the mitzvahs change it. Not a necessary definition. It can be altered, it can be transformed. It's not a necessary condition.
Saying based on the way.
Yeah.
It's using our sign of that we are familiar
with. Yeah. Now, and these mitzvahs, therefore, are mitzvahs. The Eidel Ki is mitzvahs. The Ratzon HaElyon is mezgala in them, but tzimtzum, as much as it's mezgala through Gashmis, which is basically zero. Or a drop, a bit. So what it is cannot be appreciated. It's there, but it can't be appreciated. Differences. Ha'ara shebehen megdushasa yizbarach. The ha'ara in the mitzvah, or in the oasis. That ha'ara. The ha'ara megdushasa yizbarach. There's a gedusha in the mitzvah. It says atzim ha'ratzon. You have the Eibershter himself. You have gedushas ha'atzma, so to speak. The ha'ara from that kedusha is b'chinas tzimtzum ad v'tzei achim, because it's physical. When you have a kavana, so you allow the kedusha to be revealed as it can be revealed in the world of Bria and Yitzir, which is still not its fullest revelation. It's interesting how the Alter Rebbe does it. Yes, Shalat Teiraisa Kutshabricha Kolachad. So he goes over to another thing, and then in the world you see the same nekudah. Which would be chulim a malik along, but there's still a shinui. Simon said hester. So now he goes back to Teda. So it's confusing a little bit how he gets back to it. So first he says, in Teda, say now what we learned now. In Teda and mitzvahs, there's no hester, but there's still a tzimtzum. And that's why you need kavana also to eliminate the tzimtzum. So Tchaps also that.
That's what I was saying when you're aligned. So you're not distorted.
You're certainly not distorted.
But there's a tzimtzum in its
in the Gashmis, and Kavana Tutov that it shouldn't remain stuck at the tzimtzum. And this explains also that even the Torah and mitzvahs, even in Gashmis, it says Atzmi is the Kedotzen. So it's al derech iyum amalekalam and b'shava, but mitzad the mekablim there's a difference. If the Torah and mitzvahs is l'mayla, the Torah and mitzvahs is l'mat. What's the difference? If it's b'hizgalos or not? If it's b'hizgalos.
First, it was hard to understand why it seems to be a contradiction. You're saying it's all looking for the amalekalam, derech amalekalam, but then based on chinuch.
And
the
fifth
seems to be independent of the
Mekabal. No, so the Chiddush is that even Tzimtzum is without the Mekabal.
And
Ihu and Malak Olam and B'Shava without any difference in Tzimtzum. That's B'Shava. Even Tzimtzum. L'chura, only Hester is a difference in Mekabal. There's a veil or no veil. So the Chiddush of Alter Rebbe is that even Tzimtzum is only a property of the Mekabal. And Mitzad HaEbishter is even Malak Olam and B'Shava.
How can you say that? It's not from the
Kamal. But the Tzimtzum is Kadein Kamtzin Lavushim in Eyobe, like he said in Chafal.
So I think that's why it's important that he goes in, and that kind of clarifies it. That it's
I think that the key issue in all of these Prakrit is to understand well that from Alter Rebbe's point of view, the only reality that is any worth doing business with is the reality of Einei Mulvade.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.